Welcome, 24/7 World Radio Podcast with Brother Eric John Phelps on this August the 14th, 2026. I realize I've not been on for over a month, but I'm back here now with a message that I think will be very timely and very helpful to us if we will take into consideration what is being taught and preached. The topic of this message today is unity with Rome, never. Unity with Rome, never. Even Spurgeon has a book titled Geese in Their Hoods, and he says in that book that there can be no union with Rome, no peace with Rome, ever, which was one of the marks of his greatness, and that Spurgeon doctrinally and historically resisted the papacy. His mistake is that he did not trace the power of the Pope to the rule of Queen Victoria and Viscount Palmerston and Benjamin Disraeli and these other sinners that were doing the bidding of the Pope of Rome at the time. He should have exposed that, but he did not, to my knowledge. And this is the exact same thing that's sin going on in America today. The preachers and the pastors and the ministers today will never, never connect the government, the military government of the United States of America, established on March 9th, 1933, as being totally controlled by the Pope of Rome through his Jesuits, through his great secret society. There's a book on that titled A Glimpse of the Great Secret Society, which you need to get. And this Great Secret Society has its myriad of agents to do its bidding while maintaining arm's distance and can deny that they never had a part in communism or they never had a part in modern-day Islam since the rise of the Wahhabis. And they never had a part Nazism. They never had a part of communism. They never had a part of any of these of the left-wing socialist communist Democrats, which I have taught for 25 years. The Democratic Party is the Communist Party, and the Republican Party, the Rhinos, now the Trumpers, is the new fascist party. And the Jesuits have always controlled communism and fascism working together at the same time. That's why there's a tremendous book titled Hitler's Traitor. And it has to do with Martin Bormann, who was the liaison between Hitler and Stalin, so that Stalin knew every military operation that the German high command would fulfill. Why? Because they work together. This is why after World War I, when the USSR was not a party to the Versailles Treaty, this is why the German army could rearm and begin to groom their officers in Russia, in the USSR. Why? Because Stalin and Hitler were working together. They worked together. The Weimar Republic worked with the Bolsheviks in Russia. They worked together. You see them working together. I just have a book titled Spain Betrayed. Again, the title of the book is Spain Betrayed, The Soviet Union and the Spanish Civil War, edited by Ronald Radosh, Mary R. Habeck, and Grigory Svostianov. And it's going to show you that during the Spanish Civil War, when they were resisting Franco and they were resisting the Jesuits because the Spanish Republic had kicked the Jesuits out of Spain in 1932, that then Stalin openly sought to support the Republic, which was said was communist when it was not really communist. It was a Bible-defending republic. And so what happens is Stalin betrays the Spanish Republic into the arms of Franco and his Muslim troopers to rob, rape, and pillage and kill about 2 million Spaniards, to then bring Spain back under the temporal and political power of the Pope of Rome. And the USSR, namely Joseph Stalin, was a party to it. They all work together. Today, it's the same thing. The radical socialist communist Democrats and the Trumper New Rights are all at the top, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, all working together. We have to know this. Otherwise, we will never be able to resist it. So, this message will begin with Satan having a kingdom. Satan is a real person. Satan is a disembodied cherub. He once was the covering cherub of Ezekiel 28. He was above the throne of God. He was the most beautiful creation of all of the Lord's creations. But when iniquity was found in him, he was cast down. He lost his body of a cherub, and he became a spirit, a disembodied spirit. The most powerful entity in creation today. There is no archangel or angel more powerful than him. The only one more powerful than Satan is the risen Lord Jesus Christ himself, very God, very man, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, sitting at the right hand of the eternal Father. If you're saved, he's your father. If you're not saved, he's your enemy. And hence, Satan can only be set back by the one who has all authority in heaven and in earth. And it's the man, it's the Jew, the risen Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how things work. That is the heavenly kingdoms of Satan's demons and the Lord's angels. And this is the earthly kingdom of the Pope, filling the place of Antichrist. Every pope is an Antichrist, filling the place of the coming final Pope of Rome, who will be slain with a sword, rise from the dead, indwelt by Satan, then to be the Antichrist, 1 John 2:18, 1 John 4:4, etc., etc. The beast of Revelation 13, the beast of Revelation 19. He's coming, and he's not going to be a Muslim. He's going to be a Roman and a former pope. And anybody who tells you that the coming beast of the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim is deliberately misleading you. And I maintain that's one of the things that John Hagee is doing, deliberately misleading you into thinking that Islam or the head of the Islam is the Antichrist. That's misleading. It's taking your eyes off the Pope of Rome. And it's just as awful and deceptive as the Jesuitical, not biblical, but Jesuitical dispensationalism that takes your eyes off the Pope of Rome, puts it on some coming European leader, and so that it's not to be considering that the Pope is still wielding all of this universal power. One day that the final Pope will be the Antichrist to rule unfettered for 42 months from the middle of the 70th week of Daniel to its end at the second coming of Christ. So the devil has a kingdom. It's real. You can't see it. But he has agents in the flesh that administer the Vatican Empire, the Vatican Kingdom, on behalf of Satan and his spiritual, evil, wicked, demonic kingdom. We read in Luke chapter 11, verses 14 to 18. And he was casting out a devil. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. That means the person couldn't talk. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out. See, the devil doesn't have a body. The demon here has a spirit. And when the demon goes out, they're called devils in the New Testament, King James, but they're also demons. Okay, the devil is Satan himself. So when this devil went out, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. And the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. and a house divided against a house, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebul. So, Satan has a kingdom. Satan rules his kingdom. Satan is absolute in the rule of his kingdom. All of his demons obey him. All of his thrones, principalities, and powers, and dominions, as we read of in Ephesians 6, the ranks of devils. Even C.S. Lewis writes about this in his fictional novel, The Screwtape Letters, where one demon is writing a letter to a lower demon. There are degrees of demons, degrees of devils. It's rank and file, and we know of four separate ranks. Maybe that's why the Jesuits have four separate ranks. What novice scholastics professed and professed in the fourth vow, patterning their order after Satan's kingdom. And so Satan has a kingdom, and it's not divided. Satan rules this world. He's the god of this world, and his kingdom is not divided. We read in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, that's the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, calling all men to repentance towards God and faith in Christ, that's the gospel. If it be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, he's the god of this world system, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. If you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. Philip, if I've been with you so long and thou hast not known me, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What do you mean, show us the Father? I and the Father are one. Not that they're the same persons, but they're the same in essence, the same persons composing the one triune God. Different persons, but composing the one triune God. And so, Christ, if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. Hebrews chapter 1 says he's the express image of his person. So, you see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, who is the image of God should shine unto them. So, Satan is the god of this world. Satan has a kingdom. Satan's kingdom is not divided. And Satan rules this kingdom through a religion which is unified with religion and state, altar and the throne. And that religion is in Rome. We read Revelation 17. Remember, Revelation 17 is Mystery Babylon. It's Babylon in its mystery form. It's a religion, and it's located in Rome. Revelation 18 is the political power of Rome, of Babylon, which is Rome. But ultimately, Babylon in Revelation 18 is a literal rebuild Babylon, which they're building now, aided by the coolies, by the niggas of the American military guarding the Ishtar Gate for the Pope, because Babylon is to be built for the papacy, for the final Pope of Rome to be the King of Babylon of Isaiah 14. So, Revelation 17 is a religion. Revelation 18 is the government of a rebuilt Babylon. You can read more about this distinction in William R. Newell's great book and his commentary on the book of Revelation that he wrote in 1935. It's one of the classic works on Revelation that you'll ever read. William R. Newell, it's commentary on Revelation 19:35. So we see here Revelation 17, verses 1 and following. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And we'll see that the whore is a city, and the waters are the nations. Okay. as it's interpreted right in its own scripture here, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, that's intercourse. And this is a spiritual intercourse as well as a commercial intercourse with Rome. Unlawful intercourse, it's fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Inhabitants of the earth are all completely given over to her. So he carried me away in the spirit unto the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And this beast is the same beast we see in, what, Daniel chapter 7. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Well, those are the colors of Rome, purple and scarlet. All your bishops and archbishops are arrayed in purple, and your cardinals are arrayed in red and scarlet. Decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. And of course, this is the cup that the Pope uses when he goes to the high altar and says a high mass. So here he is, decked in jewels and emeralds with his triple tiara, with his little fish hat on top of his head. And the cardinals and the bishops and archbishops, they're all dressed in red or purple, and they're busy with this whore of Rome, their terrible, filthy religion of Babylon, recouched and rephrased into Romanism. This is Babylon. There's a book by Ralph Woodrow titled Mystery Babylon Religion, of which in his sin he later repudiated, and it's very hard to get the book, but it's called Mystery Babylon Religion by Ralph Woodrow. It's about 110 pages long in paperback. If you don't have that, you need to get it. Because Rome is Babylon in its mystery form today. And we read in verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Well, her harlots are all of her other little religions. One of her harlots is Islam, Sunni Islam. Sunni Islam is a creation of that harlot in Rome. Islam was raised up by Rome to be the sword of the church, to kill Bible-believing Arabs and Middle Easterners using that prophet of the devil, Muhammad, and the God that he created or was tutored by the Augustinians as Allah, the moon god. False god, false prophet, and a Quran that was written in Rome, according to several irrefutable sources that I have. Islam is a little harlot of Rome. That's why it mentions Mary in the Quran. Yeah, who cares about Mary? The mother of the Lord Jesus Christ was a Hebrew virgin, a young woman, maybe 18, 19, thereabouts, and she didn't even believe on him till after his resurrection. But Islam glorifies Mary, because it's Romanism for people of color, Romanism for blacks, Romanism for half-blacks called Arabs. Islam is Romanism for people of color, to suck them into a phony religion, the end of which all these people will die and go to hell, wait there till the great white throne judgment, be judged there according to their works, and then cast into the lake of fire forever. Revelation 20. And I saw the dead stand before God, and the books were open. The dead are the spiritually dead. The dead are those who have never been saved. The dead are those who have not the Holy Spirit of God. And the dead compose all of Satan's religions, whether it be atheism also, because atheism is a religion. Communism is a religion. They're all religions. Something you believe by faith, that's a religion. Apart from we who believe by faith, we have pure and undefiled religion, as David of the widows and orphans in their difficulties, but this religion of Satan to remand fallen man seeking to rebind himself with God, back to God through his own little works, all a total repudiation and a spit in the face of God Almighty and the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he calls all men everywhere to repent and believe. For salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. All religion denies that. All religion is works, works, works. Do, do, do. Pilgrimage to Mecca. Go to the Vatican. Pilgrimage to the Vatican. That's all religion of the devil, making deceiving men and women into thinking they have earned their right to be blessed in the eternal state. Terrible. For there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, not just the elect, but for all, to be testified of in due time. 1 Timothy 2:4 and 5. So, what do we have here in Revelation 17? It's a woman. It's a harlot. And she has little daughters, all these little religious daughters of hers. And now it includes the Protestant churches because they're apostate. They've taken up a Roman Catholic Bible. They've taken up a Roman Catholic Greek text called the Westgott and Hort Greek text. It's an ecumenical Greek text to unite Protestants and Catholics together under the harlot of Rome, so that we can have a world government and a world religion and a world Bible and an NIV and all those other apostate, dirty, filthy works of the devil that ought to be consigned to the flames for the deception and lies that they have caused through the years of their printing. Now, verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city. This harlot's a city. And it has a religion, because it's clothed in purple and scarlet, and has a cup of abominations. It's a city with a religion, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And this was written in about 95 AD, and that's in the present tense, verse 18. At that time, Rome ruled over the kings of the earth. The Caesar ruled over the kings of the earth, but with the fourth century coming, the Caesar will divest himself of the title Caesar, and he will call himself the Pope. Both of them still consider themselves Pontifex Maximus, that term of blasphemy. But Rome is Mystery Babylon. The religion of Rome is Mystery Babylon, and we Bible-believing, born-again people cannot have anything to do with Romanism except to denounce it and then show the way to these Roman Catholic people of how to be saved. You can't appreciate a beautiful cut diamond unless you put it against the backdrop of a dark velour fabric. Then you put the light on it, and now you can see all the beauty of that diamond. Tyndale said, you cannot preach Christ unless you first also preach the Antichrist. You cannot have the backdrop. You cannot preach the true diamond of the Lord Jesus Christ, that gospel, without the backdrop of the satanic doctrines of Romanism. And that's essentially what Tyndale said. He was right. And that was one of the successes of the Reformation. Luther always was denouncing Rome. He was always denouncing the papacy as a chase for the souls of men. Satan's greatest masterpiece. Luther called Islam the kingdom of Satan, but it was a distant second to Romanism. People talk about what Islam is doing, this and that. Hey, listen, Islam hasn't killed anywhere near the Roman papacy and its mobs have killed over the last 1,500 years. Islam is a little kindergartner compared to the doctorate of the Pope of Rome in murder and torture and theft. And there was a time when Islam was an enemy of the papacy from about 750 to about 1750, for about 1,000 years. But the Jesuits managed to get it back with the Wahhabis in the 1700s and the Saud family of the Wahhabis. And in 1932, the Jesuits will give Arabia to the Saud dynasty, to King Ibn Saud, and it will now be known as Saudi Arabia or the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia was founded by Jesuits controlling Muslim Freemasons out of Istanbul and Cairo. There is a book titled that has to do with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And it's written by Ford. Hold it just a second. Again, the book is titled The Kingdom, Arabia and the House of Saud, S-A-U-D, by Robert Lacey, author of Majesty. He also wrote Ford, The Men and the Machines, about Lee Iacocca, and it shows in there that Lee Iacocca was a personal friend of Francis Cardinal Spellman, and that Lee Iacocca was a co-conspirator in the Kennedy assassination. But Robert Lacey, The Kingdom, Arabia and the House of Saud. On page 254, opposite page 254 of The Kingdom, we have a photo, and there is an obvious Muslim Arab with his typical Arab headgear sitting with a white man, Lloyd Hamilton of SoCal sign. That is SoCal. Again, this is the greatest deal in world history up to this time. This oil concession of May of 1933, May 29th, 1933, when the Abdullah ibn Suleiman al-Hamdan, the Saudi Arabian Minister of Finance, signed an agreement at Jeddah with Lloyd N. Hamilton, a representative of the Standard Oil Company of California, SoCal. Hey, guess who runs Standard Oil of California? The Rockefellers, the Knights of Malta serving the Pope, those papal knights. Those papal knights entered into the largest oil concession, oil deal in world history, and sold all the oil out of Saudi Arabia, Saudi from Saud Dynasty, Arabia, is brought out of that land by technology of Americans to enrich the Sunni Islams. And see, this is only 8 years after the fall of the Ottoman Empire. Ottoman Empire falls in 1924. This deal's 1933, so Ibn Saud's put in power in 1932, 8 years later. The following year, he's given the greatest oil concession, the greatest deal to Standard Oil of California in world history. It's going to be out of which is going to come Aramco, all run by the Jesuits through their Rockefeller dynasty and high-level Freemasons, so that they will give a monopoly to oil of oil production to Arabia. Meanwhile, the sinners are going, this very same Rockefeller sinners working for the Pope, and you can read all about the Rockefellers in the Rockefeller File by Gary Allen, they are going to be shutting down American oil production. You like that, white man? Huh? You like it that these white devils serving that white devil in Rome, the Pope of Rome, is busy destroying our white Protestant Baptist nation of America by cutting off all of our oil production in Texas and Oklahoma and other places and making sure they're going to build Aramco SoCal to build the coming second Sunni dynasty. That's right. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the Jesuits rule Saudi Arabia. So, 9/11 was all a design of the Jesuit order using both Saudi Arabia and the Pope's Holy Roman 14th Amendment American Empire, run by a military dictator, commander-in-chief, since FDR imposed it on March 9th, 1933. They're all working together. Wake up! The Republicans and the Democrats working together. For the Pope, for our destruction. And now we got Glenn Beck, who's another papal slave, has been for years. He said years ago, well, we're all Catholics now. Oh, really? I don't think so. Not as long as I can read a Reformation Bible and believe the doctrines of the faith. I will never be a Roman Catholic. I will always be an obstinate heretic, as every true Protestant and every true Baptist should be. An obstinate heretic. We will never bend the knee to the papacy. Ever. But Glenn Beck has, and I saw a recent speech of his, about an hour, where it was an eloquent speech. But what's he doing? He's building up the Knights of Malta, the 400 Knights of Malta that stood against 40,000 Muslims when they attacked, I believe it was the island of Rhodes, or Malta. I think it was Malta, yeah. And Patton mentions this in the movie Patton, where the 400 Knights of Malta stood against 40,000 Muslims, and all the Knights of Malta were killed. That's right. But he's glorifying them. Listen, these are Catholic crusaders. They hate us. The Knights of Malta have hated Bible-believing Protestants and Baptists. There was a Knight of Malta that was saved in Geneva, and the Knights of Malta got a hand on him, and they took him and they tortured him to death, poured oil on him, and burned him with fire. The Knights of Malta hate any conversion to biblical, Bible-based Protestant first century Reformation Christianity. They hate it. And you're going to extol them as wonderful men and resisters of Islam? That's when Islam was not under the control of the Pope at the time. But now it is. And we have a high-level English Freemason, the first white man to go to Mecca, Sir Richard Burton. And you can read about it in his Arabian Nights, that classic. And Sir Richard Burton is the Jesuit emissary to go to Mecca to then solidify the hold of the Jesuit order through their control of the British Empire to ultimately, in the following century, get total control of Arabia, Mecca, Medina, and also this huge oil concession using their Masonic king, Ibn Saud. They're all working together. So what do we have this Muslim agitation for? The Muslims that are agitating are Shia. The leaders of the Shia are working for the Pope too, because they're inciting their Shia people to create all this crime here and crime in London with their marches through, what was it, that one particular town. You got these horses and these noble Muslim riders, like there's something cool. They're all Shia. They've been told to do this because the Shia are finished. They're going to be rounded up and sent to the camps, to the delight of the Sunnis. The Sunnis are behind this too. I had one Shia say to me that the Saudis have hired the American military to fight and kill a Shia in Iraq and Iran and other places. That's what he said. I believe him. Remember, Shia are not allowed to go to Mecca. They're not allowed to go to Medina. They're regarded as infidels by the Sunnis and the fanatical Wahhabi Sunnis that run the Sunnis. But they're all working together. We have a design to destroy the Shia Muslims. This war in Iran is going to continue, and we're going to see the destruction of Shia Iran. They'll probably even detonate a couple of devices at the Capitol, blame it on the Shia, so we can have a full-scale war against Iran for the destruction of 50 million people or more that all claim to be Shia. It's going to be the end of Shia Islam. To the delight of the Pope. And remember, the Supreme Leader was put in power in 1979 by the CIA, according to John Rappaport, when he was yet alive. The CIA put the powerful Shia leaders in Iran in power. Don't you think the CIA still runs them? Don't you think the CIA is agitating them to do all these things to ultimately justify their mass execution and murder and roundup and sent to the camps? And Glenn Beck is advocating a war, advocating a crusade against Islam, just like that other Nick Fuentes, rather than just saying, okay, we're going to round up you Muslims in America, we're going to send you back to your Muslim lands, because there's been a conspiracy hatched out against you by the Pope of Rome to round you all up and kill you in 600 concentration camps, FEMA death camps in America. And I don't want to see you people go there, so it's just time for you to pick up and leave and go back to where you came. You Somalis, you black Muslim Somalis who hate white people, you better leave, or you're going to be taken by some white savage Roman Catholics to the camps. You got to go, you got to leave. But all these pundits calling for unification of Protestants and Catholics together against Islam. Yeah, because Islam is our enemy. Of course the doctrine of Islam is our enemy. The Quran is a satanic book. But those people have been seduced into believing this. That's why we preach the gospel to them, trusting the Lord they'll be saved. But in the meantime, we don't want to be a part of their calculated roundup and destruction carried out by agents of the papacy like Barry Davis Obama when he brought all those 80,000 Muslim Somalis into Minnesota for their setup and destruction, and justifiably so by all the crimes and murder that they are committing today in this country. Why do you think they have these radical congresswomen representing these Muslims in Congress? To infuriate the white men of this country into the new right, and it's working. And we white men are being duped into being ultimate crusaders with the Pied Piper of Glenn Beck and Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson and all these sinners. They also busy serving the Pope, and I would imagine they also are some sort of secret society members. And we're being suckers. Back to the message. So, and one more thing, then I'll get back to the message. All the gold that the king of Saudi Arabia has is ours. It belongs to Americans because they have no oil unless they use our technology to get the oil out of the ground and our machinery. So therefore, let's just make the deal. Half of what they get is ours, and they can keep the other half. Why should they get it all? And furthermore, those sinners who shut down our oil wells in America and sent all of our oil of Alaska out of Prudhoe Bay to Japan, those sinners need to be rounded up and publicly hung. That's our oil out of Alaska, and we should be paying 50 cents a gallon for gas, not $5, continually raping and pillaging and plundering us and reducing the value of the dollar, so we got to work two jobs just to eat and sleep and keep warm. These sinners have destroyed us, and it's about time you white men took unto yourselves and showed that you were true men and start to resist this. Acquit yourselves as men and start denouncing this, whether you live or die. It doesn't matter. We're going to die anyway. We're all on our way to our graves anyway. Our spiritually to be with the Lord, but our bodies going to the grave. So what? Should we not righteously contend for our race, language, culture, and nation of America as the men, as the forefathers did? Or are we just degenerate sons of noble sires? Is that what we are? Degenerate sons of noble sires? When our forefathers resisted the most powerful empire in the world at the time, which was the British Empire, that had been taken over by the Jesuits since no later than 1760 with that filthy swine, King George III. And Chris Pinto put out a recent broadcast saying, well, they might do away with the King Charles III being the king. They ought to do away with the whole monarchy. It's nothing but a bunch of perverts and thieves, multi-billion, trillion-dollar thieves, destroying the English people, bringing all these Muslims in there to commit crimes everywhere against them. That's what the monarchy has done to the British people. It's time for it to go, as well as its socialist, communist government there with the British Labour Party. That's got to go, too. Time to clean house. This is what Oliver Cromwell would say. I know I've read most of his works. You read Carlyle's works, The Life and Letters of Oliver Cromwell. Get those volumes, read them. You'll know all about Oliver Cromwell, and the greatest speech ever made in British Parliament by Cromwell lasted several hours. You ought to be always at war with Spain. Yeah, Roman Catholic Spain run by the Pope. And when you encounter his treasure ships on the high seas that you're at war with Spain, you take them and you enrich England and the British Empire. That's right. It's called prize of war. But back to our message. The devil has the kingdom and it is not divided. We see that the devil has authority in the earth. He has jurisdiction in the earth. We read in Acts chapter 26, verses 14 through 18. Verse 14, the Apostle Paul speaking here, giving a testimony as to what happened before Agrippa. And he says, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Yeah, because when you persecute the man, the woman of God that's in Christ, saved by grace through faith, you're persecuting Christ himself. Because we're bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh. We are one with him. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, those are the Jewish people, and from the Gentiles, those are the non-racial Jews, unto whom now I send thee. For what reason? To open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That particular underlying Greek word for power is exousia. It means authority. You see, the world kingdom, the world is under the authority of Satan, according to Jesus Christ himself. There aren't just good people out there not worshiping the devil. If you're not saved, my friend, you're busy serving your father, the devil, whether you're an unsaved Jew or an unsaved Gentile, according to Jesus Christ. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Yeah. It's the kingdom of Satan. It's not divided, and everybody that's not saved is in it. Are you in it, my friend? Are you busy serving your father, the devil? That's all you can do, by the way. You can't serve God. It takes the Spirit of God to serve God. And the Spirit of God has to indwell you in order for you to serve God. And so apart from him, the third person of the Godhead, you can't serve God. You don't know God because the only way to God is through his son, Jesus Christ. Muslims, and you've been all brainwashed to believe God has no son, as that blasphemy is written on the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, which, praise God, one day that place is coming down as it should come down, only to be replaced with a third Hebrew temple for the Pope, for the Papa, when he becomes Antichrist, so he can sit in it and demand to be worshipped as God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We see that unsaved Jews are busy serving their spiritual father, the devil. They are Jews. They say they're Jews, but they're not. They say they're spiritual Jews, but they're not spiritual Jews. In Revelation 3, that's what it's talking about. They're racial Jews. They know who they are, but they're not spiritual Jews. They're not serving God. They're busy serving the devil. Why? John chapter 8, verse 42 and following. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now verse 44. Ye are of your father, your spiritual father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. The desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The first lie the devil tells is, in the day you eat thereof, thou shalt not surely die, because in the day you eat of that forbidden fruit, you shall be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, yeah, you will know good and evil, but you're most assuredly going to die. So the devil lied to Adam and Eve and got them to sin and to eat of the forbidden fruit. He's the father of lies. He tells the first lie, and he murdered Adam and Eve spiritually that day. He's a murderer and a liar, according to Jesus Christ. And those Jews of his day, those leading Jews that were after him, he said, you're of your spiritual father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. Christ wasn't some mamsy-pamsy, limp-wristed, long-haired faggot. He was a man. He was a man's man. He didn't have long hair. He had short hair. He didn't have the typical hippie-looking Jesus look. Bible teaches long hair on a man is a shame unto him. What, 1 Corinthians chapter 11? That's a phony baloney Roman Catholic Jesus Christ with long hair and a little goatee and looking like a homosexual. That's not the true Christ. So, this Christ, this real Messiah, said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do, to the unsaved Jewish leaders of his day. But this is not only true for the racial Jews, it's true for the racial Gentiles, whether you're black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever you may be, if you're not a racial Jew, your father's still the devil too. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. That means he continuously, it's a continuous verb here. He that continually commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not continually commit sin. Present active indicative verb there. For his seed, that's the Holy Spirit, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot continually sin because he's born of God. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. The children of God and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So he that continually does evil is of the devil, children of the devil. If you're not saved, my friend, you can't do good. Anything not of faith is sin. Everything, the plowing of the wicked is sin. Everything you do is sin. All of it. It's impossible to please God without faith. And so therefore, my Gentile friends, you need to be saved because your spiritual father is the devil too, just like the Jew's spiritual father is the devil. You know why? Because you're outside of Christ. You've not believed the gospel. You've not been saved. You've not been indwelled by the Spirit of God. You haven't been sealed to the day of redemption. You haven't had your sins forgiven. You're not one in the body of Christ. You're not accepted in the beloved. And on we go. It's a matter of status. It's not a matter of works. And you get that status by belief of the gospel through true repentance and faith. Then you're removed from the kingdom of the devil. Then you're removed from his authority. And now you're under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you have the power by the Spirit of God to resist the devil and his kingdom and his agents and his high Freemasons and his Jesuit order and his Roman hierarchy and his Papa of Rome. Now you have the power to resist them through righteous living and your prayers when God intervenes for you and answers your prayers and sets back Satan's papal mystery of iniquity. That's what this war is about, and it's going on every day, every way, in every country of this Lord's flat earth. It's not a globe. It's his plane, the Lord's plane of the earth. So in conclusion of this portion, we read 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. If all the unsaved Jews, their spiritual father is the devil, and all the unsaved Gentiles, no matter what their religion is, their spiritual father is the devil, what can we see here? Well, 1 John 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God, those of us that are saved, we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the wickedness. And it's actually a noun. We're going to clarify the King James. That's right. We're not King James only, people. We believe there's places in it that need to be clarified. And if you don't believe that, you're in a cult. You're in the King James cult, which includes Dr. Peter Ruckman when he said the English corrects the Greek. That is a cultist. Even though he said many other good things, that is a cultish belief. So we do clarify and even correct some places in the King James based upon its underlying Textus Receptus Greek text, which the translator's preface said you would probably need to do. And they even use the word correct. Check it out. Roll the translator's heretics because they say there's a place, there will be places in their translation that might need correction. Were they heretics too? Verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the wicked, in the lap of the wicked one. The whole world system is in the lap of Satan. And the vast majority of people are his servants. There are his children. And the ones who rule are in his secret societies, ruling the governments of the world. And those ones in his secret societies are subject ultimately to some Jesuits that tell them what to do, as the high Jesuits are busy serving the Pope and Satan and administering Satan's kingdom out of Rome and Italy. People say to me, hey, Eric, don't you want to go see the Vatican? I don't want to step one foot inside that mystery of iniquity, satanic palace of demon worship. I don't want to go there and give them my money so I can take a tour of their demonic activities and their evil-looking statues that they have on their buildings, their cathedrals, their temples. They're not churches. Looking like serpents. Yeah, let's go ahead and tour the Vatican with the serpents in there. What a sin. No true Protestant or Baptist Calvinist would ever go ahead and take a tour of that wicked place. Should we take a tour of hell? Why don't we go take a tour of hell? Let's see all the people are suffering down there. Let's take a look at the flames. Oh, that's very educating. We don't go to such places. That's why we don't go into bars. We don't go into houses of prostitution. We don't go to such places. We're separate. The whole world lies in the lap of the devil. So Satan has a world religious system, and it's Romanism, as I touched on in Revelation 17. And the city that's the heart of Satan's religious system is Rome, because out of Rome, they control all the other religions. Why do you think the leaders of all the other religions come to the papacy, come to the Pope's funeral? Did you know that Muslim leaders go to the Pope's funeral? Did you know that? Did you know the leaders of Israel and Judaism go to the Pope's funeral? Did you know that? Did you know the apostate Protestants here in America go to the Pope's funeral? Did you know that? Did you know Robert Schuller went to the Pope of Rome and asked for his blessing in the building of Crystal Cathedral? Did you know that? I mean, these sinners are Masonic. They worship the Pope. We common people are trash to them, cannon fodder. Because Rome rules everything. And the only thing that divides the kingdom of Satan is the preaching of the gospel of this book, this Reformation King James Bible, when God begins to move and divide the kingdom of Satan and give birth to communities or even nations that are born out of the Reformation, infuriating Satan and his Jesuit order as they then conspire to destroy that people or that nation that would ever resist the Pope of Rome. Indeed. The Pope claims that he has the right to universal worship, that there's no salvation, that every human creature must be subject to the Pope for salvation. That's the Pope's wicked bull, Unum Sanctum of 1302. And that all governments are to be subject to the Pope of Rome. That's his temporal power. Again, that's in the wicked bull, Unum Sanctum of 1302. You see, friend, the Pope thinks he has the right to tell you what to believe. And if you don't want to believe that, why then we'll kill you. We'll kill you with our Inquisition, or we'll kill you with our intelligence communities, or we'll kill you with the Mafia, or we'll kill you with Islam, or we'll kill you some way. But you have no right to believe what you want to believe based upon that Bible. That's why that servant of the devil, Nick Fuentes, says, no man has the right, should have the right to read the Bible for his own understanding. That's all Roman doctrine. Whoever tutored him in the pure, tyrannical Roman doctrine of denying you your freedom of conscience to read the Word of God, which was defended by Luther, who also never wrote on the Jews and their lies. That's a Jesuit forgery attributed to Luther, the wicked sinners. So, the Protestant Reformation will divide the kingdom of Satan. It will cause the birth of the greatest civilization in world history, called the United States of America, with the greatest political doctrine document ever written, the Constitution for the United States of America, separating the judicial, executive, and legislative branches, that the Republic would not perish from the face of the earth, but that Republic perished with the 14th Amendment and became a national republic rather than a federal republic. And since then, it's been constantly working towards an empire, from sea to shining sea, written by that lesbian. And then in 1933, we're going to give a military government to this universal empire of race mixing, blacks, whites, Chinese. We'll make the Chinese citizens too. Bring those coolies over here to build the railroads, and we'll make them citizens so we can race mix and miscegenate the whole place so there won't be any white Bible-based Protestant and Baptist nationalism to unite and resist the Pope, resisting the Pope of Rome. Because the blacks have never done it. The Asians have never done it except the Japanese. And the Hispanics have never done it except for one time in, well, Mexico threw them out in 1872 throughout the Jesuits. But they got to race mix us all so we have no identity, so we have no common history to stand up and resist the papacy and its Jesuit order. That's what all this miscegenation and race mixing and black men with white women you see everywhere on the TV and in sports to further destroy this people. It's not good. It's not biblical. White men are for white women, black men are for black women. And I can't understand why these black men go after these white women when there's so many good-looking black women out there. Yeah. It's all of the devil in the destruction of white Anglo-Saxon Protestant North America and the blacks who have benefited, having their own black churches, reading their Bibles, having the highest standards of living they ever knew. They had nothing like this in Africa. But oh no, we're all got white privilege. We're all a bunch of white devils, according to the Pope's Black Nation of Islam, run by that Louis Farrakhan, that high-level black Prince Hall Wright Freemason, and constantly agitating against the white people to drive whites into the new right. That's why. And you black Muslims are suckers, suckers for the Pope and creating the new right, because they're going to round you up too, and they're going to send you off to the camps too, black Muslims. So, the Jesuits have their enemies they created for us. The first big enemy is the communism. They perfected communism on the Paraguayan reductions from 1609 to 1759. And then they perfected it with Karl Marx in 1848 with the Communist Manifesto, because Marx was tutored by Peter Beck, a Jesuit in the British in London for several many years, to write the Communist Manifesto and Das Kapital. That all comes out of the Jesuit order. Another forgery written by Jesuits and attributed to Marx. Another forgery called Mein Kampf, written by Jesuits, Father Jerome Stempel, attributed to Adolf Hitler, that man who never wrote a book. All he did was read newspapers. So, Jesuit communism, we have Jesuit, the Vatican Empire, we have their secret societies, and we have all the organized religions that the Jesuits control through their secret societies, including Buddhism, because you see, the Dalai Lama is a high-level Freemason. The Pope of Buddhism is a Freemason subject to the Pope. I'll never forget a lady friend of mine. She went to Georgetown University many years ago. I asked her to get a picture there of the former president, Leo J. O'Donovan, with Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton kneeling at the grave of Timothy Healy, the former president of Georgetown, and Leo J. O'Donovan was standing behind him. And I saw that when I went into the office, but this black secretary ran me out of there because I want to take a picture of it. You can't take a picture of that! So I got this white lady friend of mine who had a nephew or whatever going to Georgetown, and she came in to take a picture, and they wouldn't allow her to take that picture. And while she was there, while Joanne was there, she saw Teddy Kennedy, that serial adulterer, and they also saw the Dalai Lama. The first place the Dalai Lama went when he came here wasn't the capital to see the president. The president's just a peon. He went to see the rulers of the empire, and they are at Georgetown. So that's where Dalai Lama went to. Next is their Jesuits run all the other cults, from Mormons, Freemasons, all of it. And we can see that in the assassination of Charlie Kirk, that Protestant, that Bible-believing Protestant, because he's a problem in TPUSA, because TPUSA cannot be fanatically Roman Catholic till we get rid of Charlie Kirk. So we'll shoot him, a guy off to his left shooting him with a handgun. Yeah, it's right there. I have it on my website. And they're going to try to blame this patsy, this ridiculous patsy, who's never going to be convicted beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond a reasonable doubt, so they're dragging this out and out, probably die in jail or something like that. But Kirk was eliminated because he was against the Pope's temporal power. It's very simple. Jesuits had to eliminate him to unite Roman Catholic TPUSA with that guy that came out with a rosary. Now he's on Newsmax. What's his name? Bukowski or whatever. And that Roman Catholic wife of Kirk doesn't say a word because she's educated by Jesuits of Regis, and she's probably the Dame of Malta, something like that, and she's not going to say a word. Trump's not going to say a word because he's part of it. Cash Patel is part of it. He's not going to say a word. All these sinners busy serving the Jesuit order and conducting a conspiracy for the elimination of Charlie Kirk and anybody else that will seriously get in their way. Yep, because the devil's kingdom is not divided. So, and therefore they're going to bring on the new right, and the new right has been building for 70 years. The Jesuits first started the new right when bringing their Nazis to America with Project Paperclip, with Francis Cardinal Spellman in 1945 and thereabouts with the secret treaty of Fort Hood. And then they're going to continue to bring them in, and they're going to put these Nazis in our intelligence community like FBI, CIA. And then with that, we're going to have the beginning of the John Birch Society in about 1950 thereabouts by a Freemason named Robert Welch. Dr. Stuart Crane found out that Welch was a 32nd degree Freemason. He used to be coordinator for John Birch Society. He resigned, and Stuart Crane was the teacher of history at Bob Jones University. Oh, no. So we got the John Birch Society denouncing communism, wanting to unite Protestants and Catholics together against communism. Never telling you that communism is a work of the Pope. Then we'll have the Promise Keepers. Yes, come all out to Washington, and we're going to be promised to be better men and Mormons, Baptists, Protestants, Roman Catholics, to an ecumenical movement for an alleged loyalty and nationalism with the Promise Keepers. Most of them being all white, too, by the way. John Birch Society was white. There was a couple of black writers. And then we're going to have the white Promise Keepers. And then we're going to have Moral Majority. The Moral Majority with Jerry Falwell, the Baptist minister. Never denouncing the Pope of Rome. I would even have that sinner, Teddy Kennedy, speak at his university in Virginia. Liberty University. Uniting Catholics and Protestants together for a common purpose. TPUSA, and then we have the Radical Democratic Party with the Radical Republican Trump Party, all working together, and the Radical Democrats are doing such outrageous things and rigging the elections. So we got a Muslim that's been elected here in Minnesota, and we got Somalis voting. They're here illegally. How can they vote? It's all an agitation to infuriate us white men. To suck us in to the new right. And now, as I understand, there's going to be some sort of a confrontation for the bunch of white men going to Dearborn, and they're crusaders, and it's the white rabbit, and they're going to confront these Shia Muslims in Dearborn. That ought to be interesting. That's supposed to be August 18th. Because the Jesuits have to incite a particular key event to then drive all the white men in general into new right. Might be blowing the Capitol and blaming the Shia Muslims of Iran. It's going to be something like that. That's how they drove the German people into the Third Reich. They blew up the German parliament and blamed the communists for it when it was the Nazi Goering murder machine that blew up the parliament. Read about it in the book The Pink Swastika by Kevin Abrams. So what are we to do? In conclusion, we have to do what we find in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, verses 14 through 18. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I will never unite with Roman Catholics about anything. Anything. Because they want to seduce me into their camp. And I'm not going to their murderous, inquisitional, crusading, Nazi communist camp. I'm not going there. For what fellowship hath righteousness, those of us in Christ, with unrighteousness? The Roman Catholic Church. Nothing. We don't have any fellowship with it. Nothing in common. And what communion hath light with darkness? We're light in the Lord. They're darkness in the devil. They're busy serving their father, the devil. All these Roman Catholic priests and nuns are busy serving their father, the devil. Why in the world would we ever unite with any of those priests who deny the scriptures, who deny the real Christ of the Bible, who persecute us, who preach the real Christ of the Bible? Why would we ever unite with them? They're our enemies, and they made it so. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What concord hath Christ with the Antichrist? What concord has Christ with the Pope? Nothing. The Pope hates the real Jesus Christ because he's the vicar, the one standing in place of the Antichrist, who's yet to come by the final Pope of Rome. Jesus Christ has no concord with the Pope or his God Belial. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Nothing. We don't associate with infidels. These Roman Catholics are infidels. These Muslims are infidels. These Orthodox Jews are infidels. What's Hagee doing giving $3 million to these Orthodox Jews? They hate Jesus Christ. And for the with that group for Christians and Jews, remember that Jewish woman? She hates Jesus Christ. Why would you give the conference for Christian and Jews, why would you give them a penny? If you want to give somebody money, give the Friends of Israel money. They're Bible-believing, born-again people, many of them Jews, who evangelize the Jews and in Israel. Give money to them, but not for the National Conference of Christian and Jews or that pagan thing. Give it to the Friends of Israel. So, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Your body is the temple of God. What agreement do you have with all the idols in the papacy? With all their statues? With all their demonic statues? With their statues of Semiramis or Isis, surname Mary? It has nothing to do with the real Miriam of the New Testament. That's the goddess worship of Babylon, of Rome today. That's why it's Mystery Babylon. And it's done in that city of sin, of idolatry, called Rome. The city that sits on seven hills. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. End your relationship with TPUSA. Get out of the John Birch Society. Get out of the Moral Majority. Get out of the Promise Keepers. Get out of all those sinful, mixed up ecumenical operations run by the papacy for our destruction and compromise, so that God can't answer our prayers or intervene for us for our protection or safety. Get out of them. Separate yourself from them. Why? Because they're run by the Pope. Southern Poverty Law Center, oh yeah, run by the Pope. $350 million offshore. And the count told me years ago out of Venice, the Pope gives money to Southern Poverty Law Center, and that Morris Dees had a whole bunch of papal statutes in his home. I posted it up on my website years ago from a guy that sent it to me, Rene LeBlanc. All busy serving the Pope, the Papa. Touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We have to practice the doctrine of biblical separation. That's where we get our power. The power in our prayers that the Lord will answer us. Why do you think the Lord answered the prayers of those believers in Geneva when they were surrounded with fanatical, murderous Roman Catholics like the Duke of Savoy and the Holy Roman Emperor? Why do you think God caused a war between the Holy Roman Emperor and the Duke of Savoy that protected Geneva? Huh? He let the enemies of God kill each other. Good. Well, he's protecting us. Last verse, Ephesians 5:11. I use this all the time. That dear Daryl Eberhardt, this was his favorite verse to me when he gave me all of his writings. I had my writings on my website. If you're for a gift, you can obtain them. Daryl Eberhardt worked with NSA for 7 or 8 years. He was a virtuous Bible believer in Christ, my personal friend. And here was his favorite verse, and this is one of my favorite verses. Ephesians 5:11. And therefore, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's the papacy. Don't have any fellowship with the unfruitful darkness of the Roman papacy and any of its other harlot religions, but rather reprove them. Bring them to light. Tell what they're really doing. Tell what they're really doing. Like that virtuous Italian Catholic lady, her name was Genevieve Caron, I believe. She said that Albert Vincent Caron, her father, was a Knight of Malta, had a high army rank, was also in the Mafia, I think the Gambino family, and he was a personal friend of William J. Casey, the Knight of Malta, head of the CIA. That virtuous lady wedded the CIA with the Mafia. We need to do things like that. We need to tell the truth about things like that, which I've sought to do for years. That's why I wrote my book, Vatican Assassins, 1,836 pages, 1,760 pictures and portraits. You need to have a copy of that ebook for your library. Have at least 300 sources in it. You need it. And now that you understand this world system and how it works and what we white men are being set up for in America here, it's time that we advocate racial separation. We want a white nation that's Bible reading and speaking English somewhere here in North America. We don't hate anybody because he who stands on his own rights, your right to be white, your right to speak English, your right to read the Reformation Bible, your right to preserve our history, he who stands on his own rights injures no one. So, and as Jefferson said, both races, blacks and whites, both races equally free cannot live under the same government. And that's what we're witnessing right now. And the Jesuits have forced this race mixing, forced this miscegenation, producing all this black on white crime, robbery, rape, and murder, to the end of driving white people into the new right. And that's the reason why they did it. Let us not be suckers. Advocate racial separation, religious, biblical separation, and a nationhood. Start our own country somewhere here in North America, whether we have to separate by state or separate by county. But that's the political action that needs to be done after we truly believe the gospel in faith, having truly repented of our sins, believing the gospel, been saved by the grace of God, and now take that political action, which the Netherlands did, which we American colonies did, which the colony of North Carolina did a year before the Declaration of Independence, and which the Great Republic of Texas did when they separated from that Roman Catholic tyranny out of Mexico. May we do the same. May we remember the works of our forefathers, and may we seek the Lord while he may be found. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you as you read his word according to the Reformation Bible, AV 1611, in its present edition of 1769. Send your gifts to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. Or you can use PayPal at rbpbdonate@comcast.net. That's rbpbdonate@comcast.net. Or you can send it to Cash App at Cash Tag, Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S. Or you can send it to Chime. I got another account there. So I'm anticipating some support. It takes a lot of work to bring this to you. And may the Lord bless you as you continue to do his will and whatever the Lord's called you to do. Till next time, Maranatha, the Lord be with you.